Well, again, it's good to see you this morning. I'm glad that you could be with us. And this morning we have a pre-Father's Day message for you. So this is a pre-Father's Day message, and I hope it's really encouraging to you. I hope that it gives you a picture or a little bit clearer of a picture of the type of Heavenly Father that we have. Because the more we understand Him, the more we are encouraged. And the more we find joy in His presence. So to get us started this morning, I have a fill in the blank for you. I don't know if you like those in school or not, the fill in the blank questions, you know. I like true or false because at least you have a 50-50 chance. But here's a fill in the blank for you this morning. And that is this. How would you complete this simple sentence? Your Heavenly Father blanks... you. Okay, so take a moment and just think, what are some words that you could put in to finish that sentence, and we'll hear from you, see what comes to mind, okay? Who would like to get us started? Go ahead.
Loves.
If this was Family Feud, that would be number one, right? Ding, loves. Yes, your Heavenly Father loves you. What else?
Values
you. Very good. What else? Watches over you. Very good. What else?
Once.
Yeah, once you. Absolutely. Excellent. What else?
Made
you. Very good. I didn't even think of that one. Good job. Your Heavenly Father made you. Yes. Provides for you. Wonderful. Good answer. Cares for you. Well, this could be the whole sermon. We could just close in prayer after this. Wonderful. I'll take three more. What's one more?
Stays
with you. Saves you. Yes. I need new ears. Very good. Your Heavenly Father saves you through Christ. Good. I'll take two more.
Protects
you. And I'll take one more. Knows you, comforts you. That was a bonus. We'll take both. Yes. Isn't it amazing how many words we can insert in there? We could do this, I mean, literally for half an hour. Honestly, we could just keep going as we think about the character of God and how He cares for us, loves us, provides us, all of these different things. Well, this morning I want to insert maybe a different word that maybe you haven't thought of before. And I know it's kind of symbolic, okay? So it's not necessarily literal, but it is a picture of what dads do with children. And I'm going to suggest it's symbolically of what our Heavenly Father does with us, okay? Enough of that. Let's tell you what it is in just a moment. Let's pray first, okay? Father, thank you for this chance to look at your word. Would you help us to understand what this means this morning? And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here it is. Your Heavenly Father catches you. Catches you. I'll give you three examples of what I mean this morning, of how your Heavenly Father catches you. And we're going to use three ways that dads catch their kids. Okay? So we'll show you those here in just a moment. Here is the first one. I have a little video for you. It's about 3 minutes, and it's dads catching kids. Okay? And as you watch this video, think of what are they doing with their children, okay? What are they doing? In other words, they're catching them for a specific reason. What's that reason, okay? That's going to be the first point this morning. So here we go. I hope you enjoy this. These are dads who are good catches and their kids. Here we go.
Whoa, that was close.
Я это снял, Артём, как ты её на лету поймал.
Да, видишь?
Dad's awesome.
Hey!
duck out of the way.
Oh,
if the Phillies could only catch like that, huh? Well, you didn't think I'd show a little kid face planting, did you? I wouldn't show that. But that video does remind us all of those dads stepping in like a half a second before disaster, catching their little one. What were they doing for them? They were catching them to protect them. So that's the first point this morning. Your Heavenly Father catches you, just like the dads in the video literally swooped down and grabbed the kiddo before the bike slammed into the car or before whatever happened. I just want to remind you this morning of the fact that your Heavenly Father protects you. He protects you physically, spiritually. He is fighting in the heavenly realms for you. He protects you. There are two beautiful passages of Scripture that make this so clear that we have a Heavenly Father who protects His children. Now, there's a mystery to that. I don't understand all of what that means because we know that in this life we will have challenges and we will have struggles and we will have times of loss and disappointment. But at the same time, it is true that we have a strong and loving Heavenly Father who protects us in ways that I'm positive we will never see or understand until we're with Him in eternity. So here's two passages about the protection of God the Father. So I invite you, if you would like to turn with me to Psalm 121. It's not an overly long psalm, but it's so clear. It is beautiful poetry or lyrics, really, of the protection of God and how He promises to protect us and to help us and to encourage us. So this is Psalm 121, and my guess is this might sound familiar to a lot of us. It says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Again, I don't understand the mystery of how all of that plays out in our lives, but I do understand that that's the character of God. The character of God is He is a Heavenly Father who protects His children. That's what God does. Another beautiful picture of this is in Isaiah. So if you would like, I invite you to join me as we turn to Isaiah chapter 43, we'll read just the first few verses. Again, another beautiful picture of how our Heavenly Father protects us. This is Isaiah 43, starting at verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So my friends, we have a Heavenly Father who catches us. That's symbolic. What does that mean? One thing that it means is this. Our Heavenly Father protects us. He protects us. That's one aspect of God's character. He protects us. Here's another video, a few minutes, of a dad and a real little one. I mean, if you're a baby person, get ready to go, no. Even if you're a big tough guy, you can go, no. So get ready. And as you watch this, think of what's another way that this dad is catching the little one, and what does it mean for how our Heavenly Father catches us? Okay? We'll see what comes to mind. This, get ready for the cuteness here. Here we go. Here's our next video.
1, 2, 3, go. Come on. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Yay! Yay! One more time. Yay! Good job!
I told you! I told you! Your Heavenly Father catches you. This time, we're not necessarily talking about to protect you. We're talking about something else. What's another way that He interacts in our lives? Well, it's to stretch you. To stretch you. Did you see how long it took the little one the first time to jump into daddy's arms? It actually took longer than the video clip because I shortened some of it because it was like 5 minutes. So, but the little one just sat there and sat there and sat there and sat there and sat there. Finally, through all the coaxing that you can trust me, I will catch you, boom, in goes the little one, right? Did you notice the second time how much quicker she went into her father's arms? That is a picture, although it's kind of simplistic, that's a picture of faith being stretched, right? The dad put the little one in that position. She didn't crawl up there on her own. This was dad's idea. I'm going to put my child, who I love, I'm going to put them in a situation that will test their faith. Not because I'm playing games with my child, not because somehow I have any sort of mixed motives, but I want to stretch their faith so that they will grow and trust me more easily the next time. And if that is how we, as human dads, interact with our children, how much more does our Heavenly Father put us in situations at times to stretch our faith? Saying, you can trust me. I'm right here. You just need to jump into my arms. So there was a time when Jesus really stretched the faith of his disciples. He put them in a situation that really, in a human way, seemed hopeless. And he worked in such a way that their faith was stretched. And I'm sure next time they were in a similar situation, they thought differently. Here's what I mean, and I invite you to turn back to the Gospel of Mark. It's been a while. Mark's been lonely without us here. This, I'm sure, will sound familiar. This is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. And again, this is an incredibly stretching time for the disciples where Jesus put them in a situation where they had to trust him. They had to have their faith stretched if things were going to be successful. This is, of course, the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 30. And let's just remind ourselves of the story and see as we read along if you notice that moment where their faith was stretched. It's very, very obvious. There's a moment that really puts them to the test. Here we go, verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them, and they ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw such a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But Jesus answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months' wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the loaves and the fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave it to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Again, in the little video, it's the dad in the pool, right? The little one on the ledge, jumping into dad's arms. Probably never did that before. Stretching that little one's faith. Well, in the scripture, of course, we see Jesus surrounded with his disciples by thousands of people who are hungry. The disciples care about this and said the only logical thing is to dismiss them now. Before it gets completely dark, let them go to the villages and get food. Then comes the big stretching moment, right? When Jesus said, in one of the other versions, he said, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." I can't imagine how that would stretch the faith of the disciples when Jesus looked at them, maybe possibly even with a smile on his face, and said, "You give them something to eat." How is that going to happen? And of course, they used what they had. They put it in the hands of Jesus. And he used it. I just can't imagine the next time the disciples ate a meal together of bread and fish, if they thought about that moment. Or the next time they carried a basket with them with food, did their mind go back to that moment of how they gathered up all the leftovers and took it with them? My guess is it stretched their faith. And just like the little one jumped in the pool much faster, still hesitated for a few moments. I'm guessing the disciples, as they continued their walk with Christ, there were times where they were willing to put their faith in, maybe a little sooner. They weren't perfect, but maybe their trust grew a little bit, and the Lord Jesus stretched them. And God still does that with us. He will put us in situations not to test us or play with us in any sort of mean-spirited way, but he'll put us in situations at time. He's right there. He's not going anywhere, but we're in a situation that'll stretch our faith because we need that. And we need to know that we can jump into his arms with confidence and with faith. So that's number one, to protect us. Number two is to stretch our faith. And one more way that our Heavenly Father catches us. And here is a video to plant the idea in our mind. This is a dad and a little one, and they are having the best time. So here you go. Oh, we'll come back to that. Take a look. That's a good one too. What's happening in that video? Well, it reminds us that our Heavenly Father catches us, but what was happening in the video Well, lots of giggles and smiles and joy and laughter. And it reminds me that your Heavenly Father catches you for a third reason, and that's simply to delight in you. To delight in you. That's what the Father did in the video. He wasn't stretching the little kid's faith necessarily. He wasn't protecting the little one from immediate danger. No, they were just enjoying being together. He was delighting in his child as threw her up in the air and caught her and did it over and over and over and over again. It reminds me that your Heavenly Father delights in you just the way you are. He finds great joy in you. Great joy in being with you, just the way you are. He delights in you. I don't know if you've thought about that recently, that when you look in the mirror and you think, my Heavenly Father delights in me. He delights in me. He finds joy and pleasure and happiness in his relationship with me. Your Heavenly Father delights in you. There's a beautiful passage from the Old Testament book of Zephaniah, which talks about this idea. And let me read it for us. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. His love, he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing. He delights in you. He rejoices over you with singing. I picture, you know, like a parent singing to a little one, you know, maybe a favorite song or something like that, just to delight in that moment. Maybe the little one's drifting off to sleep, or maybe they're just sharing a moment together. But I don't know, I'm sure parents and grandparents, you've done that, where you sing over a little one, and it's just to delight in that moment. To delight in the presence of that precious child in your life. It's just a reminder that God delights in you. He finds great joy in you, just the way you are. And I have a song that I hope really brings that idea and just tucks it away in your mind. The song is called God Delights in You. So I hope you are blessed by it. So here we go. Let me play it for you.
Calling every daughter, calling every son, all who've been adopted through a sacrifice of love. There's no need for you to fear. Your debts have all been cleared. Calling all the downcast, feel like they're alone. Anyone who's longing for a family of their own. God's prepared a place for you. He's calling you to come and sing, come and dance. The Father's singing over you. Come rejoice. They're welcome back at home. The God of grace makes all things new. He's calling you to come and sing, come and dance. The Father's singing over you. Come rejoice. You gave your beloved
That's a good song. All right, so your pre-Father's Day message is this. Your Heavenly Father loves you, forgives you, all the things you've said earlier, but he also catches you. He catches you. What do I mean by that? Just like the videos, he protects you. Think of, you know, God reaching down and just snatching you from some sort of danger, spiritual, whatever it is. He protects you. He also catches you to stretch you, right? You can almost see him with his arms open in an awkward or difficult situation. He's right there with his arms open, but he's going to stretch you. And you're going to have to go through that experience with him, just like the little one on the pool. And then the third way, he catches you as a reminder, he delights in you. He finds great joy in you. He rejoices over you with singing. So I had a question earlier to talk about. I like this one better. So before we worship with a closing song, I invite you to think of these three ways that God interacts with us. He protects us, he stretches our faith, and he delights in us. And would you pick which one means the most to you right now? With just the way your life has been, with what's going on in your life right now, which of these three are you most thankful for? And I'm going to invite you to turn to someone near you, and I'll give you a minute or so just simply to share which one means the most to you right now. Which one are you most thankful for? And maybe you want to even share, if you would like to, a word or two why you chose that one. And then we'll pray and we'll worship the Lord with a closing song. Okay? So for now, I invite you, go ahead. You might need to scooch around a little bit. Turn to someone. Share which one of those three means the most to you and why. Okay? God bless you as you share. Go ahead. Well, thank you for sharing. Sometimes it's hard to pick one, isn't it? I had all week to think about it, and I still wasn't quite sure which one to pick. Regardless of which one means the most to you right now, the fact that your Heavenly Father protects you, the fact that your Heavenly Father stretches you, the fact that your Heavenly Father delights in you, regardless of which one you chose, I just want to leave you with this thought. It's as if God is whispering in your ear this, I've got you. I've got you. I've got you. I'll protect you. You're in my arms. I'll stretch you. You're still in my arms. I delight in you. You're in my arms. I've got you. Your Heavenly Father has you. He's got you. That's not good English, I know. But he has you. He's got you. And who can take you out of the hand of the Lord? Who can do that? So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can celebrate Father's Day next week. And Lord, I'm thankful for this reminder this morning of the type of Heavenly Father that you are. That you are the God who has us in your hands. You catch us. I thank you that you protect us. I thank you that you stretch our faith for our own benefit. And I thank you, Lord, that you simply take delight and joy in your children. You are an amazing Heavenly Father. We cannot thank you enough for who you are, for all that you've done for us, for your many, many blessings. And Lord, this morning we're so thankful that you catch us, that we are in your arms, and we know that there's no better place to be. So Lord, would you encourage your people this morning with this simple truth that you are a Heavenly Father who catches them. You protect them, you stretch them, and you rejoice and delight in them. We love you, Lord, and now we want to worship you with this song, not only with our words, but also from our hearts as well. Thank you for being such a good Father, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.